Welcome to The Upgrade, an insightful podcast where we give you, hopefully, valuable information to help you level up your wellness game and start upgrading your life. I'm your host, Samantha.
And I'm your co-host, Carly.
And today we're going to talk to you about something we all aspire to do better, and that would be goal setting. Hopefully you have some goals, because that's what makes us move up in this life. So to start, I actually can't recall, Carly, was it me that was starting or you?
So let's just get right into it. I love the topic of goal setting. I think that if you don't have goals, you probably aren't going to move your life in the direction that you want. So I think
very true.
And there was a quote, I forget who said it, maybe it was Earl Nightingale, but he said, a man without a goal is like a ship without a rudder. And it's true. If you have no direction, if you don't know what you want, why you want it, and where you're going, you're probably going to feel stuck in your life. So I think goals are so, so important to have. They can be very, very small. We're going to get into all different types of goals today, but yeah, like make sure you have goals for yourself, little, big, whatever it is. Goals are important. So yes, I wanted to get into like what is a goal. So I found this definition that says goal setting transforms vague ideas and wishes into a structured path for achieving success. It provides focus, allowing you to allocate your energy and resources more effectively. Additionally, research shows that setting goals can enhance motivation and performance by providing a sense of purpose and direction, which is basically kind of what I had just said, right? So yeah, for me personally, if I don't have a goal or, you know, a few goals that I want to achieve, I feel very, very lost. I can oftentimes feel anxious, kind of get into a depression. I personally need something to work towards so that I can wake up in the morning with excitement, knowing where I want to go. And I love celebrating once you achieve those goals. Like in my personal experience, like setting a goal and actually achieving it. Oh my God, there's no better feeling, right?
And to it's have the best dopamine.
It's so good. So yeah, what's your personal experience with goals?
Well, my personal experience is I get overwhelmed with the bigger picture and I forget to break it down into small, simple steps, which I think is something we both learned throughout this week, even preparing for this podcast, that you do have to break it down into small, more manageable chunks so that you don't feel overwhelmed. But it turns out that it doesn't matter the goal that you're setting. It could be an athletic goal. It could be a finance goal. It could be a relationship goal. It actually doesn't matter what the goal is. The science has shown that it's the same four areas of your brain that are responsible for goal setting. It's the same set of neurocircuitry in your brain that's going off. So with that said, I think that's important to understand when it comes to goal setting, because if you understand the neuroscience behind goal setting, you'll be that much more successful at trying to personalize that structure to meet your particular unique needs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love it.
So I will just start off with that, those four brain structures. So there's the amygdala. That's on each side of your brain. You have an amygdala, and that's responsible for all your emotions, the negative and the positive, the fear, the arousal, the excitement, the passion. That's all coming from your amygdala right here. So that's responsible for goal setting. Your lateral prefrontal cortex, which is near the front of your brain. So that is responsible for immediate and long-term planning, which I think you can see how that would be a part of your brain that's definitely responsible for goal setting, the whole time scale. Then there's number three, there's the orbital frontal cortex, another region near the front of your brain. That's the part of your brain that it actually understands context and understands that in relation to your goals. So for example, I feel happy when I achieve this particular goal because it makes me better at this. But it's the part of your brain that's able to understand the context and how it relates to your personal life. And then last is the basal ganglia. So this is the part of your brain that's the go or no go. So that's the part of your brain that's the action. What do we need to withhold to achieve the next goal of mine? Or what do I need to do? So it doesn't matter what your goal is, there's going to be a set of verbs, and verb is an action word. There's going to be a set of actions that you have to take in order to achieve that goal. It doesn't matter what the goal is, there are going to be some action steps. So
love that. I love that part of it. Like, go science, Sam. And I just wanted to read out like a statistic, a well-known statistic around goal setting is from the study by Dr. Gail Matthews at Dominican University in California, which found that people are 42% more likely to achieve their goals simply by writing them down. The study also showed that sharing progress with a friend increased accountability and improved success rates even further. This illustrates that making goals concrete by writing them and sharing them increases commitment, motivation, and accountability, key factors in turning goals into achievements. And that's huge with goal setting, is actually like writing it down specifically on paper with blue pen. And it does something. Studies suggest that writing by hand engages different areas of the brain, like Sam was talking about, than typing. We all have technology now. We all have computers. But I love the old-fashioned way of getting a piece of paper out, my blue pen, you know, sitting there with like a cute little notebook and like a coffee or a tea, and just writing out my goals and envisioning what I want. Some key aspects of goal setting. So clarity. Like, what do you think when you're setting a goal? Like, do you think that it's better to be more general, or do you think you need to be like super clear on what you want?
It has to be super clear, because this is where, and this is again where I personally struggle. I get overwhelmed with the big picture and say, I want to be successful one day, or I want to lose 100 pounds. Like, I want to be fit. These are so, well, saying I want to lose 100 pounds is a little more specific, but saying I want to lose weight, that's such a big goal. You have to break that down into a small set of tasks. So I've actually been learning, and a lot of my research has been done through Andrew Huberman's work. He has a podcast called The Huberman Studio, and he's a neuroscientist. He's amazing. And he promises better results. All the science in the literature suggests that you are going to have better results if you have a focus on one goal. And this is not to say you neglect, you know, your relationships if you're focusing on your financial gains right now, or you neglect other parts, but don't have like multiple large goals. Have your one large goal. You break it down into a small set of tasks and verb actions, the action steps required to do that goal. Plan it over a period of time. For example, I will lose 10 pounds after 30 days, something like that. It has to be specific, and you have to focus on those small steps. Otherwise, you'll get lost in the whole big goal. You do have to narrow it down.
Yeah. Keep it too vague or general. Like, the chances of you giving up or quitting on that goal that you want to achieve are probably like more likely to give up, right? Mm-hmm. So getting super, super clear on that goal. And also, like, why do you want that? Like, do you want that because everyone else is doing it? Or it has to really come back to your values, and
has to be intrinsic.
Yeah. And it has to be specific to you and like why you want it.
Mm-hmm. So don't do a goal because you want to prove everybody wrong, or you want to prove this to the world, because that's more extrinsic. You just want to prove yourself. Your goal is far more likely to be successful if you intrinsically want that goal. You intrinsically want to lose weight. You intrinsically want to make more money for your family, or you intrinsically want to eat healthier food so you feel better every day. If it's not intrinsic, the chances of you being successful are much less, according to all of the literature out there.
And that goes like to the second key aspect, is motivation and purpose. Like, if it doesn't align with your values, then it's not going to make sense in your brain as well. I feel like you're going to be immediately closed off to doing what it takes to reach that specific goal. It's not going to feel good. And so the chances are that you won't complete that. And then when setting future goals, it almost holds you back, because you're like, well, this doesn't work, or this doesn't feel good. And so you don't move forward with setting future goals for yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well said, Kale. You just have to make sure that you are clear on those steps. So example, I want to be an athletic swimmer one day. So yes, one of the verbs will probably be, I have to swim, but there's also going to be, I have to drive to get to this place, to get to the pool. I have to, you know, I have to breathe. There's so many verbs that are involved in your goal, that laying out those verbs. So today I'm going to do 3 sets of 10 breaths, deep, deep breaths for 10 minutes straight. And I'm going to swim in my backyard pool for X amount of hours on Monday, and then on Tuesday. And you see how it's broken down, and then you have a clear idea of what you should be doing every day. And I also think it's important to point out that when you are setting a goal, you don't want to set a goal that's like too easy. So there is actually a certain type of chemical in your brain that is needed to get you into action. And that is the arousal network of your amygdala. So you are not even going to have that part of your brain at all aroused. You're not going to feel that, which is the thing that gets you into that motivation to get you into action. So if a goal is too easy to achieve, all of the literature suggests that it doesn't give you sufficient amounts of that arousal network to get you into the necessary action to achieve that goal. Does that make sense? Did I say that okay?
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense. Yeah.
So that frustration, that fear, that anxiety, that I want to freaking, like, even editing this podcast, I want to rip my hair out. That is the very thing that's required to create neuroplasticity in your brain. And if you didn't know, it's probably a word you've all heard, but neuroplasticity is your brain's ability to actually change. So if your brain doesn't have to work that hard towards a goal, if a goal is too easy, why would it need to release all of that arousal network in your amygdala? Why would it need to release that? It doesn't have to change. So in order for your brain to change, for neuroplasticity to occur, you need to have a goal that's a little bit bigger than what you think you can achieve, and but not so overwhelming that, you know, you're overwhelmed by the goal and then you end up retreating the other way.
Yeah. Okay. And this brings us to the next key aspect of goal setting, which is accountability and deadlines. So goals are often more attainable with specific deadlines, which creates urgency. Mm-hmm. Accountability, whether through self-checks or sharing your goal with others, also boosts commitment. And I love this one because if I don't share my goal with other people, like if it's like a little bit like of a stretchier goal, if it's like getting out of my comfort zone, if I don't share that goal with somebody in my life, I oftentimes will not do it because mm-hmm. things happen. But if someone else is holding me accountable for achieving that goal, mm-hmm. I'm more likely to just be like, you said you were going to do this, so you better go and do that, or else people aren't going to trust you. You're not going to have that trust. You're not going to have that, you know, self-worth. So I love that. And also, having the deadline. So say you were like, I want to take my family on a trip at Christmas time. So that gives me 3 months to save up $200 per week. That is very attainable, mm-hmm. achievable, and having that deadline, knowing how much that trip is going to cost, and then mapping out how much you would have to save per week in order to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. And all the studies have shown that in goal setting, all people who were successful in achieving their goals, no matter what the goal, the same two things that always came to play in all these studies were always a time management, so spreading it across a certain specific time scale, and quantifying your goal. To be able to quantify something means to be able to measure something. So certain goals are very easy to quantify, like you want to lose a certain number of pounds or you want to save a certain amount of money. But certain other goals are a little more hazy in what is required. Like I want to learn a new language, conversational French, or I want to learn how to be a better person. Mm-hmm. Like it's harder to quantify that, but nonetheless, once you figure out how to quantify that, and that means the verbs, what are the verbs required to do that? What do I have to do? Write that down and then set it across a certain time scale for a week or a month. They say 12 weeks is a very good time scale for trying to pursue a goal. Then that is the likelihood of you achieving that goal is basically astronomically through the roof.
Yeah. And that was actually the next key aspect, was measuring progress, like identifying markers of progress that you can track. So, and then going in and readjusting things and celebrating the milestones, right?
Celebrating
every little thing along the way. Like when you did something you said you were going to do, like celebrate it. Like,
celebrate!
It's worth celebrating. So what are your, like, let's get into the nitty gritty of like our personal daily routines when setting goals. What is your idea of setting goals? Like, how do you love like to go about it?
Again, this goes back to the episode we did way back, but you wake up, you start your day in the best way. You drink your water, you drink your greens. Carly likes her greens. You setting your day up, then you have your coffee. Then at some point you have a nice healthy breakfast, well-rounded. You're already setting your day up. But if you wake up and you're like, oh, I'm going to have some leftover chips from last night, you're probably not going to have a very productive day. So starting your day well, like we've described in our earlier episodes, and then from there, what are the actions that I have to take today? And again, I'm learning this. I just said I get very overwhelmed with the large scale of the goal. It overwhelms my mind, and then I'll end up spending 15 minutes thinking about how big my goal is, how scary it is to achieve it, and then I've just wasted 15 minutes, and it didn't set my brain up for success. Mm-hmm. My brain is now in this state of worry. I struggle with the long-term goals, but I'm so happy that we decided to do our podcast this week on this topic, because now I really see the importance of breaking it down into those small steps and making it realistic for you to achieve every day instead of this vague goal that's somewhere in the basement of your brain that you hope to achieve one day.
Yeah. And we'll actually get into like the SMART criteria at the end, but which I'm so excited to go over. But yeah, for me, like, I think that knowing exactly what I don't want has always shaped my thinking for the future. So I think when things happen in our lives that, you know, seem bad or negative, or like mm-hmm. that was a horrible situation that could have happened, we need those moments to know exactly what we don't want, so then we can set mm-hmm. goals for the future and what we do want. So I think that it's really important to have situations happen in our lives that we know we mm-hmm. don't want. That like, that didn't feel good, I don't want that. So first and foremost, knowing what you don't want, then getting clear on what you do want, why you want it, aligning it with your values, then sitting there writing it down on paper with blue pen so you can visualize it. You want your brain to actually like take that, collect that information, store mm-hmm. it, and then also connecting it with back with emotions. And something I really, really love to do is having a vision board, whether that's like me like cutting out pictures of a magazine and like actually gluing it to Bristol board, or last night like the kids and I and Colin, we actually went on Pinterest and we made like a virtual vision board, and yeah. we mapped out so as a family what we would want. And it was just such a good exercise also to get like kids dreaming bigger and mm-hmm. and knowing what's possible, and also for them to know that like having goals is really important. And then after we did that, like my husband and I went and, you know, we went to one of the goals that we had on that vision board, and we got very clear on how we were going to achieve that and make it happen. And so
you got clear on the verbs.
Yeah, we went through the steps and we were like, hey, this is what we're going to do every week. Like, you know, we like actually mapped it out. And so mm-hmm. and that felt really good to do. Whereas if we were just like, this is what we want, but we're going to actually do nothing to make it happen, like it probably yeah. would never happen.
It'll just stay a dream. Don't let your dreams be dreams. Your dreams matter.
Your dreams do matter. Yeah.
Your dreams definitely matter. And also, this brings me to my next point. Failure and frustration. That's what makes the change in the brain. The change in the brain, like when you get excited about a goal that sets off the arousal network in your amygdala, that is good. And that's the trigger. But the actual, sorry, I feel like I'm yelling. But again, you know, I have the headphones on. That's the trigger. But this is a reason why sleep is so important, because the actual changing of your brain structure, the rewiring of your brain, happens while you sleep. So the trigger happens while you're awake, while you're doing your goal, while you're getting excited about it. That's the trigger. But, and remember, you need a sufficient amount of that chemical to go off in your brain that gets you excited about your goal. But then again, the brain structure doesn't actually specifically change until you're sleeping. So good rest is key to goal setting too.
Yeah. Get to bed on time.
Go to bed, kids.
Early and wake up early.
Yeah. So Andrew Huberman says failure, frustrations are good. They actually represent shifts in the neurochemical states that literally open the ability for neuroplasticity to occur, which again is your brain's ability to change in the first place.
Say that again.
So Andrew Huberman, the neuroscientist I noted before, he said failure and frustrations are good, which always happens when you're pursuing a goal. They represent shifts in neurochemical states that literally open the ability for neuroplasticity to occur. It can't occur without that happening. That's what creates the shifts in your brain, okay? Because you messed up last time, I'm not going to mess up this time. So you have to get a little bit, your goal has to make you not feel, you know, unsafely uncomfortable, but you should be a little bit discomfort.
Yeah.
Experiencing a little bit of discomfort before you step into that goal. It should be a little tiny bit scary.
Yeah. And that exactly what you just said goes back to like knowing exactly what you don't want, so then you can reclaim what you do want. And when we look back in history, like all successful people who have started with nothing and got to where they want to be failed over and over again. And they got right back up because they had that goal was so aligned to their values. It was, they had such a strong emotional attachment to it. And so no matter what happened, no matter what anybody thought of them, they were willing to get off their ass and make it happen.
Yeah. And again, emotional, it was so emotionally important to them. So now you can see why the emotional part of your brain is responsible for goal setting.
Yeah.
And some tips. These are Andrew Huberman's tips that I will share, because I'm not a neuroscientist, but I sure love learning about it. I even tell my students failure is proof of your learning. If they get a bad mark of your test, it's the very blueprint to your learning itself. So certain things, you might put stickies on your wall. Carla, you love your sticky notes for your goal setting.
They're all over the place in my house.
Yeah, so that's great. You could see your goal. Just switch it up. If your brain sees the same thing over and over again, it might just get used to it and doesn't get excited anymore. The arousal network's not going off anymore to get you into that state to actually take the action to pursue your goal. And then the other thing is you need to learn. And again, this is a practice. Don't get your dopamine all the time from telling everyone what you're doing, which it's fine that you love that. And you, it's actually a good thing to have an accountability partner, but make sure your dopamine is coming from you actually doing that goal. Like, it's kind of like going to the gym. If you don't learn how to love the burn, you're never going to get to the gym. You got to love the burn. You got to train your mind to love that state of learning. And that's where your dopamine will eventually come from. And that's a very good place for your dopamine to come from.
I love this. This is such a positive conversation. Like,
isn't it so lovely?
I feel all warm inside. Okay, so now I want to go over the SMART criteria. So this is a widely used framework for setting effective goals. Each letter in the acronym represents a specific attribute that a goal should possess to increase the likelihood of success. And it's super easy. So we're just going to break it down. So SMART, S stands for specific. So I know we kind of went over this, but if you actually want to write this down, and then you can have your goal at the top and then write S and get really specific. So the goals should be clear and specific. So what do I want to achieve? Why is this goal important to me?
Okay, so S, specific.
Specific. Okay. Who is involved? Where will it happen? Like, get really clear. This is when you actually get to like envision the scent, like use your senses to see it. Who's there? Mm-hmm. What do you smell? What do you see? Like everything. So instead of saying, I want to get fit, get specific. So I want to run a 5K race in my local area. That's more specific. So okay. S is specific.
Okay.
Two is measurable. So goals need to be measurable so you can track your progress and know when you've achieved them. This involves defining criteria for success. So
measurable,
for example,
quantifiable, same thing, just so you know.
Like how Sam had said, if you want to lose 10 pounds in 3 months, well, how are you going to do that? Like what? Like, are you going, how many days are you going to go to the gym? What are you going to eat? Right? Like really mapping that out. Three is achievable. So
make sure it's achievable.
Goals should be realistic and attainable, taking into consideration the resources you have and any constraints you may face. And then, but also stretching, like how you said, like make it achievable, but get it to that point where there's still a little bit of discomfort there, right? So that your brain can like change. So
a little bit beyond.
I
want to
read one book per month is achievable for most people, as it is reasonable goal based on time and effort.
Mm-hmm.
Relevant. Number four, goals should matter to you and align with your broader life objectives or values. So again, coming back to aligned values. If they're not aligned with you, your purpose, like how you see the world and everything, it's not going to work. So, if you're, for example, if your long-term career goal is to become a certified project manager, a relevant goal might be, I will complete the required training course by the end of the year. So having the relevancy to that. Mm-hmm. Time-bound goals should have specific timeline or deadline to create urgency and prompt action. So this helps to prevent goals from being overtaken by day-to-day responsibilities. So for example, I want to save $5,000 for a vacation by December 31st. It's time-bound because it specifies when the goal should be achieved.
Yep.
And yeah, so that, so if you want to go back and write that down, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound.
Perfect. SMART. Be smart about your goal setting.
And then I think the last thing that we can chat about is like staying motivated and overcoming obstacles like in your life, you know, because we can set these goals, but like things happen. For example, we're moms, like our kids might get sick. Who knows what can happen, right? So what are your tips just on like continuing in life and with goals when things do come up?
Well, don't be so hard on yourself when life does come up, because that can get in your mind state and that can discourage you and make you retreat. Honestly, try your best. I know it sounds so basic, but do your best and do what you can do with the power that you hold. And that's all you could really ask for.
That's life. Like, we get to get back up. We get to start where we left off and, you know, maybe change a few things here and there, but, you know, and celebrate your small wins, no matter what they are. Like, even if you set your alarm to get up 5 minutes earlier, like that's a huge win. Like
it is.
Just to do some like 5 minutes of breath work. So yeah, like if you fail, if you don't achieve the goal when you thought you wanted to, maybe like reframe a couple of things, go back to like doing a little check-in, but start over again. Like Sam said, don't be too hard on yourself. Like we're all human. We're all trying our best, but in the end, just make sure you have at least one goal that you're working towards. You can have maybe, I would say, up to like three, but I think if you're piling like 10 goals on, like you're just going to become overwhelmed. And in my personal experience, I feel like three max is like the number to reach for. But if even it's just you have one goal to work towards, like that is huge.
Yeah. If you're not God, you should have some goals.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, that's all. So hopefully we gave you some valuable information to help you upgrade your goal setting. And thank you for listening. And we will see you guys next episode, where me and Carly are going to be talking about motherhood and literally from finding out we're pregnant all the way up till our birth, all the way up till where we are currently in our sanity.
Yeah, you might even get a little snippet of our birth stories. So.
Yeah, so stay tuned. Yeah. Don't worry, we won't go into drastic detail on
visuals
that.
Visuals and all.
But stay tuned, guys. Thank you.
Until next time.
Until next time.